Hello and welcome to the Lisa.fm Book Club, where you discover books designed to awaken your consciousness. Don't miss an episode. Sign up for the Lisa.fm Book Club podcast. Go to www.lisa.fm and click on Lisa.fm Book Club. This is part two of my chat with Karen Tate, author of Walking an Ancient Path, Rebirthing Goddess on Planet Earth. For more info on Karen, visit KarenTate.com. In this episode, Karen will give you tips for doing simple rituals to connect with the goddess and create your ideal life. But first, Karen, let me ask you, why does the feminine face of God seem to be missing in so many churches today?
I'm starting to examine Mary and Mary Magdalene a lot closer because I see them as really important bridges to bring into the fold, so to speak, these progressive Christians who have not had the benefit of understanding the feminine face of God. And through Mary and Mary Magdalene, they learn about Goddess. They see the power of the feminine face of God and what we've all been missing for so very long.
And there are women who are in the church, in the Christian church, who are feeling that the church, they're missing something, and they're off on their own path looking for the God and the feminine. And it's interesting how the feminine isn't more portrayed in church, because there are churches named after the feminine. There's a Mary Magdalene Cathedral, there's Church of Mary. And
the early church fathers were smart enough to know that people were not going to totally give up Mary. Mary is a powerful archetype. She is a powerful force in the church, but they were not going to give her the equal status to Jesus or God. They had to keep her down below him, just like they have to keep women down below men in the church, on that rung of the ladder below them. And, you know, women are starting to awaken to the idea that, you know what, this isn't right. This is out of balance. They're starting to look in museums. They're starting to do their homework, and they're starting to learn about these ancient goddesses. For instance, in Ephesus, Artemis was an incredibly powerful goddess. Well, when Constantine decided he was going to use Christianity as the glue to solidify his empire, he decided that he was going to do away with paganism. So all of these people who were worshiping Artemis all of their life and for decades and hundreds of years, well, they just all of a sudden had to give it up or be threatened with death. Well, you know, what people did was they just took everything they knew and believed about Artemis and shifted it to Mary. Same thing with Isis. A lot of people did the same thing with Isis and Mary. Everything they knew and loved about Isis, they just shifted it to Mary, the mother of God. And so Mary became the container and the inheritor of everything that was goddess. The baton was just passed.
And then they had to kind of cover it up so it didn't look like they were making up a story? Is that
well,
what you would say?
Well, you know, I think it's the difference between what people do in their home, sort of like folk religion, and the organized church. And it's not always that they mutually agree on everything. For instance, right now, I think about my grandmother as a wonderful example. She's a Catholic, and all her life she's had altars to Mary in her home. I don't think there's anybody in the church that's going to tell her that Mary is an equal to Jesus, because in her heart, Mary is it.
And you mentioned in your book that you saw her praying with her rosary directly to Mary.
Oh.
So how does ritual bring you closer to the feminine face of God?
Well, ritual is really a tool. Ritual is a tool that helps get you in the right mind space to access the divine within, the divine without. It's different than, I think about when I was a Catholic in New Orleans and we would go to church on Sunday. It was stand up, sit down, listen to the guy at the pulpit, stand up, sit down. You didn't really participate fully. You were sort of just being talked at. But ritual is a lot more participatory. It can be meditation. It can be enactments. I mean, you are a full-fledged participant in ritual. And it can be as simple as having a little picture on your dresser of a deity and lighting a candle to her or talking to her, or maybe making a list of things that you want to bring into your life and putting it on that altar and focusing on it. That's a ritual. It can be that simple. It doesn't have to be something big and elaborate.
And isn't it the things that are on our altar, the little area where you're doing ritual, subconscious reminders?
Yes, absolutely. It keeps you focused. When you think about The Secret, they tell you to make this board of what you want to manifest in your life. It's the very same thing. Your altar is your manifestation board. You put there everything you want to bring into your life, and you see it every day. You think about it during the day, you think about it when you make your plans, you think about it when you go out into the world and do, because we're not saying that these things just manifest automatically because you pray. You have to work at it too. It's like if you want a job, you don't just light a candle and hope you get a job. You got to go out and send out resumes and search and network. So it's a reciprocity. You put out your intentions into the world, and a lot of time you see those being rewarded and coming back to you. And when that happens, we say the universe or goddess, well, she's providing for us.
And also being in anticipation of getting what you want versus thinking you'll never really get it. And that's what we're learning through A New Earth and all these other books. It's really in allowing yourself to receive. And that's the goddess too. It's the magnetizing what you want versus going out and, like we say, clubbing it and dragging it home.
Well, and also too, I think one of the key things we can't forget, this is reciprocity. So we have to be sure and be, you know, and show gratitude as well. I think that's an important key element. And I'm reminded of a movie I saw a long time ago. It was a Celtic movie about, you know, Arthur and the Lady of the Lake. And the Lady of the Lake was talking to Arthur and said, "Oh, I'm fading away, Arthur, because no one believes in me anymore." And I thought that was so important, because it's like we have to put the energy into something to get it back. It's like what you nurture survives, what you neglect withers. So that, you know, that matters in everything, and nature really does teach us that lesson. And you just have to apply that to every facet of your life. You have to put energy into it for something to come back to you.
And also to pay attention to what it is that you're nurturing that isn't in your best interest. If you're nurturing a lost love that you seem to cannot let go of, or things in your life that are no longer necessary.
Oh, that's so true. That's so true, because it's like that old adage, be careful what you ask for, because you may just get it and it might not be good for you.
Yeah. Well, Karen Tate, thank you so much. The book is Walking an Ancient Path, Rebirthing Goddess on Planet Earth. Karen takes people on sacred journeys to Egypt and the other ancient places.
I sure do. In fact, for 2 weeks in October of this year, I'm taking a group of men and women to Turkey, all different wonderful places of all the different goddesses, Roman goddesses, Greek goddesses, Egyptian goddesses, places of Mary if you're a Christian. And it's just going to be a wonderful trip the last 2 weeks of October. So if you're interested, please go to my website, www.karentate.com, and be quick, because it's almost too late to sign up.
And that's Karen, TATE.com for more info. Thanks for being here at the Lisa.fm Book Club. I'm Lisa Osborne for Lisa.fm.